In what ways does sin inhabit the physical body? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're taking questions from listeners just like you, and we got this really interesting one. I can't wait to hear what the guys have to say about it. What ways does sin inhabit the physical body? Well, let's get right to this discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for listening to the show. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we're taking your questions. Here's a question from Hal. And Hal has been reading Zane Hodge's commentary on Romans. In fact, he says he's read it for the fifth time.
Wow.
He says he does have a question. He says every time he reads it, he gets new insights from it. And by the way, I think you might want to check out that commentary. The full commentary is called Romans Deliverance from Wrath, and you can get it from our store. But there is a condensed version of it in the second edition of the Grace New Testament commentary.
Right. They can find both at our online store at faithalone.org.
Yeah. And if the full commentary is too intimidating for you, the Grace New Testament commentary, I think, is ideal. If you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're a pastor, preacher, missionary, whatever, or if you're just someone who likes reading the Bible and wants a little more depth than what you'll find in a study Bible, I think you should get a copy of the Grace New Testament commentary. Anyway, Zane's commentary on Romans is in the second edition. The first edition had a commentary by Rene Lopez.
Right.
But because Rene Lopez based his commentary on conversations with Zane, once we had Zane's commentary, we felt it was appropriate to use that one.
Right. It's not like there was any difficulty with Rene's, and Rene has a longer version also.
Right. Romans Unlocked.
Right.
Is that it?
Yeah. Romans Unlocked and part of his ministry Scripture Unlocked. And so, yeah, Rene, we like Rene's commentary. We just felt that because we now had Zane's commentary, it would be helpful to provide people with both options. So people with the first edition have Rene's, people with the second edition, which is now a one-volume version, they have Zane's version of Romans.
It just has a different take on Romans than what you typically read from Protestants and evangelicals. I mean, there's still that amazing truth that started the Reformation, that we're justified by faith apart from works. But then after that, Zane reads that book very differently than most commentators.
Right.
And so you might be interested. I've been reproducing a lot of the chapters in Grace and Focus magazine, so you might have read about it there. All that to say, Hal asks this question. One thing I've always had trouble grasping is the idea that sin inhabits our physical body. In what way? Zane always uses the terminology of sin inhabiting our mortal body, but can you clarify what that means?
Well, that's a very difficult question. My answer would be that when you read Romans, you find Paul referring to our mortal bodies.
Yeah.
And that when you get to the end of Romans 7 and the beginning of Romans 8, he's looking for deliverance from these mortal bodies. Mm-hmm. Who will deliver me from this body of death?
Yeah.
Chapter 8 opens up with this praise that God is going to deliver him through the work of the Spirit. And what Paul calls the mortal body or the body of death, Paul and other New Testament writers call the flesh.
Yeah.
The word body is soma, the word flesh is sarx. And both body and flesh do not per se refer to the physical body. They do, but they refer to it as the container that has within it this competing desire. It competes against the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Our human spirit and the Holy Spirit are moving us toward godliness, but the flesh can move us away, and the flesh has a desire to sin. And as far as where that is, well, it's in the physical body, but you're not going to find it. Let's say it was in your spleen, so we take out your spleen, now you no longer sin.
It's not something that you're going to see in addition to like the white or red blood cells that you have. It's not like a different type of cell in your body. Here's an illustration of how sin can reside in our bodies.
Right.
And you tell me if this makes sense.
Right.
Both Abby and my son Zane, when they get hungry, they get hangry. They're irritable. They can't.
I've never heard of hangry.
You haven't heard of hangry? This is a lot of people suffer from hanger, especially my son. We've now realized, and it took about a couple of years of realizing, wait a second, when he just eats cereal in the morning and he just has that all those carbs and he puts honey on it, he just starts freaking out. He's not ready for life. He's angry. He doesn't want to go to school. He doesn't want to get dressed. He doesn't want to do anything. And we realized, wait a second, what if he has the same issue as Abby, that when his blood sugar maybe goes low, he just can't think and he's irritable and he's angry. So we've just been feeding him protein or slow-burning carbs in the
right
morning. And it's a completely different little boy.
Wow.
I think that's an example of how having a mortal body, you know, things can happen in the mortal body that tempt you to anger, to sin, don't you think?
Right. That illustration gets us moving in the right direction, but the genesis of that problem is primarily physical.
Right.
Now, of course, if he had no, what some people call old sin nature, OSN.
Right.
Then it wouldn't matter how his physical body was messing up.
Right.
He wouldn't start sinning.
Right.
Right. If he didn't have the ability to sin, he wouldn't sin, and he wouldn't start screaming and yelling and throwing temper tantrums and doing things that were wrong.
Right.
But on the other hand, the situation that you're describing there is primarily physical.
Right.
But what we have is a problem that even if Zane, or I have low blood sugar too,
yeah,
and I get the way you're talking about, if I don't eat slow burning carbs, I have to eat like every 3 hours or I get lightheaded, dizzy,
right,
and
right,
everything starts going and my patience goes away. And,
right.
But even if we are at our peak physically,
yeah,
we're eating right, we're getting enough sleep, we're getting enough exercise, we're in perfect health, we're not going through any disease, we don't have COVID-19,
sure,
we don't have any problems, still and yet we have this inclination within us to sin.
Well, see, and I think...
And we still sin.
And
some.
We still sin. And I think that's, again, in our body. Let's say, for example, a lot of people struggle with lust. On one hand, that's just something that arises in your physical body. You just kind of react to someone who is attractive to you. And it's almost like you just start having these desires because it's almost part of our like DNA. Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, I do. But
or if you're faced with a threat, suddenly your adrenaline rushes and it's like you have a physical response that leads you to either anger or to jealousy or to something. And all of those things are disordered. They would not exist in Eden.
Right.
You know, you wouldn't lust in Eden. You wouldn't get angry in Eden. Your bodies wouldn't produce those types of reactions. Do you think that's, you know?
Well, we're getting off in a separate area here, yeah, but let me hit it real quickly on the area of lust, because the word lust is the basic, in Greek, is basically the word for desire.
Yeah.
If you remember, maybe you could read James 1, verse 15, because lust in Scripture is not simply sexual lust.
Right.
It's for any desire.
It's for anything, right? Yeah.
Anything you can desire. And not all desire is bad.
Right.
But James 1:15 is talking about bad desire.
Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death.
And so James 1:15 is talking not about specifically sexual desire.
Right.
It's talking about any sinful desire. It could be a sinful desire for somebody else's property, so I'm making
right
plans to steal from them.
Right.
Or it could be my neighbor has the right answers on the tests and I don't, so I'm figuring out how can I steal the answers from them? How
sure
can I cheat on this test?
Sure.
But desire results in sin, and sin results in death. And basically
right
it's saying there's a path here.
Right.
And as our desires get out of control and produce more and more sin,
right,
the result is premature death.
Right. But where do a lot of those desires come from? Think about Eve in the garden. She sees the fruit, and she sees that it's good for food, and she
right
desires it. I mean, that kind of comes out of like a physical desire for food, right?
Well, it did, but what led to it in the beginning of Genesis 3 is the serpent comes up to her and produces this desire in her.
Well,
he specifically talks about the fruit of this tree
and what it could do for
and
her,
what it could do and how it could make her like God. But now keep in mind, before that, she had other desires.
Right.
She had desires for Adam. Adam had desires for her. Those were perfectly
sure, and those are
legitimate
fine
desires. And also, to eat any other fruit of any other tree,
right,
those were perfectly good desires.
Right.
Desire by itself is not wrong. What's wrong is sinful desire.
Yeah, if it's desire for something forbidden.
T. typically we call that lust to distinguish it from other kinds of desires. Mm-hmm. But the point is, all of that springs from what the Bible calls the flesh, or what Paul also would call the mortal body. And I don't know exactly where that is, but you're not going to cut something out of the body and it leaves.
No, I'm saying just our natural desires for sex, for companionship, for food, for safety, for competition,
right,
for flourishing, all of those things, which are part of who we are. It's,
right.
It's all of those things, I think, because of the fall, because of our mortality, are disordered in themselves. And they can all take, like a desire for food can easily turn into gluttony for most Americans.
Well, this is a great point, Sean. And the same thing would be true. Let's say you have a desire to compete.
Yeah.
So you go into sports.
Right.
Well, a lot of people who go into sports do it for the wrong reasons. They're seeking personal glory. They're
right.
not seeking to glorify God. They're willing to cheat
right.
to get ahead.
Right.
They're willing to squash other people and ruin other people's careers
right.
in order to get what they want. It seems to me, yeah, it could be an area that it's morally neutral if it wasn't taken out of control.
Sure. And, you know, some desires, not all desires are bodily. Some just come from our ego, from our mind, from having
right.
an unregenerate mind.
Right.
And having these evil plans and, you know.
Well, when you say unregenerate mind, when we're regenerate, well, we now have a regenerate mind.
Unrenewed.
But you mean.
I should have said an
unrenewed mind.
Unrenewed
yeah.
mind. So, the opposite of having the mind of Christ, I guess, having the mind of the world, or having a mind blinded by the God
or,
of this world.
Or thinking like carnal people think.
Or thinking like
worldly
people
think. Yeah.
So I think desires can just kind of arise at that level too, but I don't know. I don't know if we've answered Hal's question, but I think we've explored it.
I think we've gone all around the edges of it.
We've explored Hal's
we've
question.
We've been through the part.
So how does sin inhabit our physical body? I mean, I don't know if we're agreeing or coming to a solid conclusion, but I think we've explored some of the possibilities.
Well, it's clear when you read Romans 7 that Paul knew that there was sin within him, and he knew that when he focused on the commandments, it produced sin in his life.
Yeah.
And that Romans 8, the delivery, is the proper mindset.
Yeah.
It's not the mindset in the flesh, which is death, but the mindset in the spirit, which is life and peace.
And, yeah, and that's part of the delivery, but the second part of the delivery is that one day we do get new bodies.
That's the ultimate. That's what we're looking forward to.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On Friday's edition, we're going to talk about faith and mental ascent, so tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.